Hi, you're listening to Conversations with Musicians with Leah Roseman. If you've never heard the virtuoso Mongolian harmonic overtone throat singing of Buku Ganberged before, you'll be wondering what you just heard. I'm thrilled to be able to bring you this special music and Buku's personal story of growing up in Mongolia and emigrating to Australia. Buku's audio was captured by his phone directly in Australia. I generally avoid recording over the internet, but the mic placement wasn't ideal to capture the beautiful complexities of both the horsehead fiddle performances and Buku singing. However, he has also allowed me to share a couple of his recordings, both solo and with his group Equus. So you'll be able to hear him explain about different regional styles of singing and playing, as well as hear the studio quality recordings. And I encourage you to listen to Buku's albums wherever you listen to your music. Like all my episodes, this is available as both a video with closed captions and a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The link to my website, leahroseman.com, is in the description. Please do consider supporting the series. You'll find my support page linked as well, and every dollar helps. At the beginning of this episode, Buku explains how he learned overtone throat singing and demonstrates different styles. You'll then hear some incredible music on Morin Kur, the horsehead fiddle, and learn about Mongolian culture and Buku's experiences in Australia, where he's gone from busking on the street to performing at the Sydney Opera House and being featured on The Voice. Now let's get to the episode. Hi, Buku. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been listening a lot to your music, your solo music, and with your groups, and we're going to get into your music career, but I know you are going to do kind of like a mini workshop for us today. So if you want to get right into it, that would be wonderful.
Let's do it. I'll try my best, and and happy to do a workshop with share with, around the world who wants to know a little bit know about the Mongolian culture and Mongolian, the instrument, which is called Murung Hor, and of course, Homi, Mongolian throat singing. Yeah.
So did you start singing when you were like this official training at the conservatory?
No, this is actually the self-taught.
Okay.
That time it's really rare if you play instrument in same time doing throat singing. It's almost like it's less than 10 people who can do that. It sounds beautiful.
Okay.
And then once I turned to 15 years old, I decided to learn. I definitely have to learn. I couldn't find any teachers because that time is very difficult to find teachers. And then I decided to go to countryside, which is the throat singing originated in that area. I choose that province and to get there, and then I tried to catch the natural, the herders, they can do throat singing. And I asked, many questions, how you do that? And then they don't have the teaching skills. That's why you just put your, tongue like that, and then it comes automatically. And then I said, I can't do that. No, I can't explain. It's, I'm born with it, most of the day. So. And then I just, write on my diary how they put in their tongue position, how they work with their mouth. and have the crate, you know, sound box from inside the mouth, have the kind of like a four or five different styles of the throat singing. As soon as I got all the information, I just went back to Capital City, and then and I tried to listen the cassette tape from the national radio of Ulaanbaatar, and then and lucky they actually gave me like a copy of the cassette tape, and then I listening and read my diary, and then I start talk by myself, and that was actually really successful. And it's really complicated when you don't know the beginning. You can't, you know, like put yeah.
Boohoo.
I've got a record tape, cassette tape, and then and yeah, start trying to sing. The very first time was difficult. It sounds like a horrible sound. If you learn the wrong way, you can be damage your vocal cords as well, and a little bit brain damage because you're pushing and you know, lots of high pressure around here. If you all the pressure going up, it's blood pressure going up to your brain. It's gives you like a the dizzy, you know, it's like a almost like a falling off. That kind of problems happened to me, and then I just realized, yeah, have to be very slow down and learn step by step. It took me like a 5 years to learn and to complete learn. Yeah, I'm gonna show you the throat singing now. This is my normal voice. I'm singing. Before you start learn throat singing, you actually your breath is very important. When you're breathing, you're not actually breathe from the chest. Most people when they breathe like that, not here. Always the breath has to be go down your into your stomach, and then this is your trigger. You're always tight, and your throat like that, squeeze it like that, and then it sounds like it tends to come out. You wouldn't wouldn't let your the power let it out. You compress it down. That squeezing helps to slow down. The sound. This is first style. It's called Shaha, which is tightening style. Second style, it's called Eskere. You make a two notes same time from your mouth.
Thank you.
And the another style, it's called harira, which is undertone. It's growling. It's a little bit similar sound as like a Australian didgeridoo. More growling, but also you can all the stars, you can say any word. Hello, how are you? Where you came from? You can do the normal, like any make a sound. Hey, how are you? Where you came from? See, and then you can do it. Yes, everything is possible. And another style, it's like it's called the nose. You sing, it's all sounds coming from your nose. And then another style, you can make a sound from your ear. No, I'm kidding. And then it's all the styles combine each other, and then all improvisation happen. And I'm going to show you how the fiddle and throat singing combine each other.
Thank you, so beautiful and
Thank you very
powerful.
much.
Now, I know your albums are available on streaming services, but I didn't see any of your solo stuff on Bandcamp. Are you going to put any of it up there?
I did actually. It's
Did
it
you?
on a not on a Bandcamp actually. It's except Bandcamp, other streaming platforms is available. If you type Buku
Yeah,
and then
I love being able to buy albums on Bandcamp and the money actually goes to the musician instead of,
I know,
yeah. So
but
on Bandcamp, your group Equus, they're
Echoes on the
2019.
yeah, is it
Yeah? So I bought that album on Bandcamp. Great.
Yeah.
And you have another one you didn't remember making, Driftwood with a Dutch musician in 2015, Hiske Visions. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Singer. Maybe it was like a recording session and you don't remember.
Okay.
It's
What's
pretty
his name?
cool. I thought of Hiske, and then it's Weijens.
Ah, Hiske.
Visions.
Ah, yeah, Dutch. Yeah, she's, yeah, it's a long, long time ago.
Yeah, that's on Bandcamp. I bought that album too.
Okay. I even didn't hear any of the music actually.
Yeah.
Maybe I can have a listen. And yes, if you listen stream my music, yeah, just you can listen from Spotify or something like that. Maybe
Yeah.
I should think about it, put it on the Bandcamp as well. Yeah.
You should, yeah.
Yeah.
And Equus, that's such a cool group. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
So we met all the members. We actually the first time met in Queensland. The festival called Woodfoot, I think it's in 2011. Every band members they actually played in different bands. I was actually performing my solo, and then after I perform, and then everyone just loved to. My children's coming.
Yeah.
Everyone just come to me and then say, "Hey, can I join?" And then we can make a band. And then it's turned like a four-piece of band. And me and John Robinson is a strings instrument player, and then Peter Kanner is a double bass. No, the percussionist, and Bertie McMahon is a double bass player. And it's actually such a beautiful combination, for musicians. And this year, actually, we are going to Woodfoot, not going to, but we just send the application to everyone. We actually bring a big groups. It's 20 young adult choirs, Sydney's children's choirs. They're actually performing with us. And and it's so good. We next in the future maybe we're coming down to Canada.
Yeah, that would be amazing. This next recording is with the group Equus, and they are performing Hurhun Halyun. Hi, just a quick break from the episode. I'm an independent podcaster, and I really do need my listeners' help. Please consider buying me a coffee. The link to my Ko-fi page is in the description. Every dollar helps me cover the costs of this huge project. Thanks so much.
So, I was born in Mongolia and raised in Mongolia, and I moved to Australia in 2009. And that time, actually, I find myself to share my knowledge of my education plus, self experience. Because in Australia, it's such a beautiful multicultural diversity, and then I met lots of different musicians and sharing their culture and music skills, how I combine with them, how I actually fit my skill between the other different cultures. And then that's how I actually discover my new skills.
Okay.
The based on actually improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 90% of world musician in Australia, they know about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's very beginning. It's really hard to understand the culture, and plus how you fit into the culture. It's to be honest, when I came to Australia first, I had no idea. I couldn't speak English,
mm-hmm.
and I only can play music.
Yeah,
and then but I needed money, of course, and then I start actually busking,
mm-hmm.
the place called Newtown King Street, and that actually improved me a lot,
mm-hmm.
almost like 100%. On the street, people never heard throat singing and my instrument, and then they start asking many, many questions, and then I had no idea what should I answer. Should I say yes or no? That kind of starting point happened, and then I have to learn English, otherwise, I miss opportunity maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start actually learning English and speak and make a conversation with the locals, and my English actually improved within like a year. And then lots of Australian famous ABC radio and the orchestra conductors and lots of music producers, they met me, and then they want me to collaborate with collaborate with them, and then that's actually my music career start in Australia. Now here I am. Yeah.
Well, I do have a lot of questions, but do you want to share some music first, or would you like to talk some more?
That's what I'm talking about. This is Murung Hor.
Mm-hmm.
This is the horse head actually crafted top of the instrument, and look, the sound box, mm-hmm. looks like that. It's like a very classical handcrafted fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
You can play actually anything on this instrument. And this instrument used to be like the sound box. The front and back used to be on a cow skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a undertone, very bass sounds came out. Now you can tune actually any tone. No, I mean any notes,
mm.
and then you can play. The sound is like that. I just played the song called Erden Zasking on it, which is my traditional long song. Because why is that called long song? It's in especially the all parts of Mongolian, like north, west, east, south, they have their own genre. This long song basically originally came from like a the Eastern Mongolia, because it's Eastern Mongolia is it's Gobi Desert, beautiful like the flat landscape, and then that's why it's the original people in that area. They sing like for example, like in 10 seconds or 20 seconds, they only sing like two, three words. For example, if I say hello, how are you? It's like a text like, ha, so it's called long song, because it's in Gobi Desert, you can't see other side of the edge, you know. And if you drive in the middle of Gobi, maybe if you drive like a 30 minutes, you feel like you stay in one spot. Yeah, that's why it's all region is different genre. This in, for example, west part of Mongolia, it's lots of mountain forest, and then they have more like a rhythmic. For example, like that. It's all different type of, and then Mongolia is also very rich with, you know, like a traditional dance. It's all played by horse fiddle as well. It's for example, like all dancers, especially the female dancers, they always show when they dance, show their like a lifestyle. For example, you know, like look at the mirror, and then, you know, the hair brushing. And then we play behind when the dancers is dancing. It sounds like that. Sometimes it's fastest. Of course, this is called horse fiddle, and then we lots of different type of like a horse gallopings, you know.
Yeah.
Songs, one of them. Thank you.
Now, the strings are unusual on that instrument. Can you talk about how they're made?
The strings looks like two strings, but it's made up from the horse tail. See, there's a lots of piece of horse tail. Can you see that? And bow is horse tail, and it's only one instrument around the world play horse tail with horse tail. That's why when the people's first reaction always, feel it very, very close to their hearts and goosebump, because it's live. Like we're using, like they're not like a, for example, like a violin, cello, classical instrument. They actually play on, like a metal string and with the bow. But this instrument, horse tail with horse tail, it's like a kind of like very, very like a soulful sounds always coming through this instrument. That's why it's a very special instrument.
It's very beautiful. I love it. But just to say, so violins used to be intestines, so gut strings. That's actually from sheep intestines. And now there's some metal, but the different things. Just to say, they're not. They weren't. Didn't used to be made of metal. Now the bow traditionally, it's like the Comanche. It's like a variable tension. But do you use more of a cello bow, or are you using a traditional bow?
It's basically designed for this instrument. This is it's actually in a bit because the violin a little bit smaller and then cello and thicker and smaller because they usually positions like that and then press from the top. But this instrument I'm actually holding like this position. That's why it's the bottom two fingers actually gives tension. I adjusted in a volume, the tone volume, and this one is holds the hold the bow doesn't fail off anyway, and then the thumb actually lock it. It's basically same as like a German bow position. It's way bit longer than any bows.
I've had a few previous guests who play different types of stringed instruments, bowed instruments. I'm always very interested. So people who haven't heard those episodes, I have an episode with a Comanche player and a Gadulka player and Arhu, because they're all cousins. It's so interesting to hear the different music people make on these instruments.
All two strings instruments originated from Mongolia, and then it spread out, and the Mediterranean, and plus in China, and man, big land, it's all spread out. But in history, this instrument is the elder instrument. It's like a father of the two strings family. And Erhu used to be, it used to be used in nomad land. It's easy to take, hold it, handle it, put it in the back and sit on the saddle and then go wherever they want, the nomads. And then what if they get bored, just grab it from the back and then start playing. That's why it's like a all two strings instrument, all originated from Mongolia. But it's like in long term, generation to generation, of course, all instruments, sounds and position and the finished and the all quality and design all changed, of course.
And there's legends about the origin of the instrument too that I heard.
This instrument, the legend, his name is actually Huhu Namjol. Cuckoo means cuckoo. Similar, it's Mongolian. Cuckoo. Cuckoo. He's a legend man, and who actually the went to army, and then he met beautiful maiden, and then they actually fall in love with each other. And before he went to army, he used to actually this look after very rich, family's animals. He's like a herder and living with his poor mom. And then, yeah, when he went to army, he made a beautiful maiden, and then he finished it, and he sent back to his original place, and then he missed his girl, and then her girl come back to him, and then she gave it to him horse, and horse can fly, and then every day he can fly to her region and then catch up her, and then come back his home, and it's happened like that. But there is a jealous girl, like the rich man's daughter. She actually fall in love with him, and then she knew that, and then she actually catching the man, actually seeing the girl who has fallen in love with each other, and then I have to do something, and then the jealous lady actually one day cut off his horse's wings, and horses died, and then he's missed his horse, and before he buried the horse, the wind suddenly blow across the horse wind across the horse's tail. The wind comes through, and then the tail starts to a little bit making the music, and he thought, how about instead of burying my horse, I always have to remember my horse, I have to make instrument the memory of my beautiful horse. And then he start making instrument and take his horse tail, put it in the instrument, and then take his make some bones from the neck and sound box, and then he made it complete the instrument and then start playing. From then, this instrument born. That's yeah.
The song you're going to hear is from one of Buhu's albums, and it's called Khuhu Namjil, and that is the name of the man in the legend that Buhu was just telling us about, the man who had invented the morin cur, the horse head fiddle.
What 네 혼세 불러라 달라 불러 저도 못하라 달라 눈지 저도 된 여긴이 들으다니 하와세 간절 달라가 설득해 저리 머리 대조대 조위 저골탕가 조대 하리소 조위
아돈이 도터를 안사랑 흠사대흠 아요태 책에 탈은 순도등역치 소든 슬게 소흐다 설러 도낙시게 볼다그겐네 허이 사흥 전능 하르드 머르네 외생의 영마성겐네
And you said it used to be covered in skin, so it makes sense for nomadic people who were in the desert, they didn't have access to trees, that it would have been animal skin.
Yes, because it depends on that, you know, like where you live. Mm-hmm. The Mongolia is not surrounded with the ocean or something like that, you know. That's why it's 100% dry place. Mm-hmm. Which is animal skin more comfortable. So sounds is more like a soft and mm-hmm. beautiful mix, very beautiful sound. And then second, of course, we are related for our animals. Always if your best horses die, you're always trying to keep something from it. That's why it's take off the skin and skin parts and then always memorize and put it in a frame drum or like put it in covered with the what they play, just cover this with, you know, skin with the instrument covered with the skin. When they play song and things, always memorize their best friends as well. It's, you know, between friendship between animal and human as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I saw some of that Mongolian movie about the weeping camel, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it true that those songs are used to soothe the animals?
Yeah, it does. Because I used to do that as well. If you want, I can send you the video as well. I make them cry as well. Because the camels are can be very soft and very smart. Especially, it's very rare. Sometimes they're rejected, you know, calf.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's if they can't accept the babies, it's the babies are always, you know, unfortunately, can't live for long. And that's why who's the nearest, you know, well-trained and experienced, you know, the fiddle player who invited by host. Mm-hmm. And then they play front of the camel and then play and sing and camel start crying. And then as soon as they become a very calm, and then host will be slowly bring the baby and then, you know, they put it into, you know, teeth and then, mm-hmm. and then suck the milk. And then as soon as the mom is still very calm, That's the, you know, happy ending. It's always mothers accept the babies. And then mm-hmm. kids, baby will survive as well. That's their so very old tradition of the music. Music actually have the strong, powerful music, you know, to make animals cry and then help them to accept their babies as well. It's all, you know, nomadic life skill and trained and how they're close to the animals and things like that. Because animals, it's like a, for nomads, it's like a cow, you know.
Next, you're going to hear Buhu singing in a video he sent me. He's singing to a camel in Mongolia in order to help her accept her calf that she had rejected. So in the video, it's really just focused on her face, and that's the tradition that he was just explaining. Did you grow up in a nomadic lifestyle or in the city?
Both ways, because my mom, she raised and born in west part of Mongolia. That's she's like a lived in like a reindeer people. She's a reindeer, and my father is also from countryside. And then when they turned to like a late 30s. They moved to capital city. It's called Ulaanbaatar. And during the school term, I, of course, stay in capital city. And then in summer, from June to September, it's 3 months summer holiday. I always stay my mother's place, it's 3 months. And then I used to, it's like a, yeah, it's city and countryside. I always do that, yeah.
That. So who taught you to play and sing at the beginning?
The beginning, my uncle, my father's older brother, he's actually influenced me a lot. When I was like 5 years old, and he always come to my place and then play music and sing and always have happy conversation with my parents. And then my dad used to sing with him as well, my mom singing. It's, you know, weekend just relaxing there all the time, just relatives come and then sing and play and eat together. My uncle influenced me a lot at that time. And then I just saw, he's actually a little man, but his fingers like a big finger, and then just flying over the strings like a plane, beautiful sound like that. I was like, how he, you know, make these sounds so beautifully? Look at the fingers, you know, it's just flying. And then that's actually, I fall in love with this sound. And then because it's just normal. That time I turned 9. I was actually went to normal high school. I mean, like normal school. And then one day, just one, my music teacher came. There is a special music class opening. Who wants to join this class? And then I just raised my hand. And then I that night back from school, I just told my mom and dad, "Hey, mom and dad, I just wanna study for music." And then they said, "No. How are you gonna live with music? How are you gonna earn money?" The musicians, it's very, very difficult to earn money, and I would we prefer you become like an engineer, because my whole families they are engineers, construction engineers. I'm the only one, musician. And then I had a like a like a agreement with my father, and then he said, you're really interested, you're really into it." And then I said, "Yes, okay, I send you to the conservatorium of Mongolia, but there is a audition happened, and then my uncle took me to the conservatorium, and I was actually passed three auditions, and then I accept for conservatorium." And then my father told me, "Okay, I really want the best, musician from my family. If he can't make it within 3 years, if he can't bring any prize in 3 years, my mind will be changed." That was very, very, difficult agreement. And then I said, "Yes, okay, I'll do it." I was to work hard. I got a prize, many, many prizes. And then he just, "Yeah, okay, this is your life, But son, listen, is if you become a musician, you will be out of the normal life. And then you have no time to, you feel you'll probably miss your teenage, your kids' childhood memories will be, you probably, sacrifice it. You'll be fully trained, you'll be 10 hours practice." And then, "Are you happy with that?" My dad said. I said, "Yes, I'm happy." And then my whole life, just play music and practice, play music, practice. Plus, the general, the subjects of, school, it's adding as well. I go to school in the morning, like 7 o'clock, school finish, 2 o'clock, and then the music, the main class starts from 2 till 5, and then 5 to 9 o'clock, I have always practice. And that's why my whole life happened. I sacrificed, all what my dad said. But it's okay. It didn't really turn to the wrong way. Yeah, I'm so happy with that, because I love music and I love playing. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I was in my conservatory, my class, there was a 36 children. First came in, and then when I graduated in 2007, only 5 of us graduated. Yeah, because most of the children know, and some of them knew it's not my, destiny, and they just quit as they as much as they early as possible. And and then 2007, I promoted to the best Mongolian ensemble, hospital ensemble. It's the best 14 horse fiddle players in this ensemble. I selected and then worked there for 2 years, and then came to Australia 2009. And then I'm working as a musician in Australia now. Yeah. Is there any like a festivals, like a world music festival happening in Canada or no?
There are lots of festivals, and I'm not the person to ask, but your friend Lindsay, who introduced us, I think he would have more of an idea.
Oh yeah.
He used to tour a lot, and you're in a group with him now. You're
Yes,
doing
yes. We have a three piece, Lindsay and Lizzie. It's very unique combination as well. Lizzie has very beautiful, beautiful, out of the break the like a high tones and things. It's like an angel voice, and then floating all around, sounds. And then, and Lindsay, of course, he's a king of the wind instrument. He just nailed it, and then including me, is unique as well. And yeah, we actually played in 2019. It's FLMAD Adelaide. That's the biggest festival in Australia. And then we had lots of very nice reviews and comments. And then, yeah, I hope we're doing more project as well. And this time it's actually, my children are small. I can't really go around, far from home, because my wife needs help. Yeah, that's why sometimes I look after my children, help my wife, and if it's like an interstate, I go there. And then if it's out of states, I always only love daytime. Just book the flight for me in the morning as early as possible. I get there, sound check, and then after concert, can you please take me to the airport straight away? This is a little bit tiring, but the life is what can you do? As quick as possible, yeah.
And they grow up so fast.
I know. All right.
Well, I don't want to keep you. I know you have to get back to your kids. So thanks so much for this today. Good.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. Sleep well.
Have a good
you
day.
Too. Okay. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm taking a much needed break in August, but in a few weeks, the series returns with lots more fascinating musicians worldwide. I've released almost 80 full episodes at this point and well over 100 with shorter bonuses, so please check out my complete catalog of episodes. You can sign up for my podcast newsletter at leahroseman.com, and please share your favorite episodes with your friends and family. I really appreciate your support.